Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the every other week Tuesday night open call, and obviously, this is the week. We're here. We've got Jesse with us. He missed last call. He was tied up doing things, but he is with us tonight. We have Terry with us. I'm waiting for John to show up and Larry, and we'll get them on board. But we'll have a little bit of discussion if we can keep Jesse awake tonight. Jesse has been burning the candle at both ends and three places in the middle, as usual. That's nothing new.
I was
going to
say, yeah, somewhere in there. Yeah, I'm telling you. Oh, hell. Well, I had to go to the Blazer Book Factory yesterday, to be there Monday, so I drove up Sunday. Leisure drive, you know, it's a 7-hour drive, 7.5 hours, so it's not too bad. And,
yeah.
You know, we get to shooting the shit and talking before you realize it's 11 o'clock at night. And I got to be up at 5 in the morning because I got to get over to the plant by 6. Well, I'm only going to be there for a couple of hours and then leave out of there by 8 or 9, which is an hour behind, you know, at Central Time versus Eastern Time. So you're already an hour behind.
Mm-hmm.
My wife had invited everybody over for dinner, have a family dinner. And, well, I get there. One problem led to another. And it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm still there. I'm like, I'm never going to get home, babe. Oh, yeah. I said,
oh,
forget.
Man.
You know, you guys, it was, yeah. So needless to say, it was 12:30 last night. And by then, I had already made a 7:30 appointment this morning that I had to be at. So, you know, I got home after driving 8.5. Oh, man, I'm telling you, 4 or 5 hours sleep driving and working at the plant with these guys for 9 and 10 hours, and then driving another 8 hours. There was traffic holdup and stuff. I walked in my house at 12:30 last night. I'm like, holy hell, I can't, like, I don't even know how I made it. You know, like, you don't even know how you got here. And gave Danny a kiss.
Did a little bit of that hypnosis driving.
Yeah. You know how it is when you set your alarm, you lay down, and it seems like you just set it on the nightstand and it went off. You're like, what the hell happened?
Yeah. Yeah.
Off
yeah,
I went
again. Done that.
Today I had to do, we have the Bassmaster Classic coming up, so I had to do a bunch of sponsor videos, and I got about 6 or 8 more to do tomorrow. They go on the, you know, they put them on these rewinding automatic play type of things, you know, loops.
Okay,
so
yeah.
I got to do all that. Oh, yeah. So I'm doing all those, and Cody's doing some minor editing and then getting them to him. But, so I had to be in good spirits for that, and my buddy from Japan and his wife and his little daughter showed up. Had to get them out of here. And my buddy Dave Frost showed up. Had to get him out. I'm like, oh, God, can I just catch a break? Like, please, let's just slow down just a little bit.
That's not allowed.
So, Danny, 7 o'clock. I said, you know, honey, I'm going to take me a hot, hot, hot shower. I'm just going to go do our calls, and I'm coming and crash. Leave me alone, you know.
Yeah, I don't blame you. That's,
I haven't even dinner. I don't even want dinner. I don't even want food. You know?
Boy, you got to be tired if you don't want food.
Yeah, I don't miss very many meals. But
no, I know you don't.
I'm just exhausted.
Oh, man. Well, it is what it is. Well.
Exactly.
Oh, geez. Well, let me see here. I want to... See, we've got Larry with us.
Oh,
and,
hey, Larry.
This board. What the heck is going on with this board? Holy crap.
Did you get
Larry,
me?
You there? There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go. Good job.
All right. Okay. Well, you know what, Jesse? Before we get our butts in a sling, you know what you need to do.
Oh,
I don't need any crap from attorneys or anything, and nobody does. So why don't you do that patented disclaimer and get that out of the way, and then we'll get on with having some fun with stupid lawyer moments and good news and whatever else we can conjure up, and go from there.
Hey, guys, welcome to our call. And again, if you come here seeking legal advice, you need to hang up and go talk to an attorney, because we are not attorneys. We don't even know how to give or what legal advice technically is. So again, if that's what you need to go see an attorney. But if you're here to have some fun, like we are, and learn a few things on how cases go and, you know, what we do in certain situations, then you're more welcome to stay. But again, we don't give legal advice. We don't even know what the hell it is. So you need to roll if that's what you're looking for, guys.
Well, it's always good to have the disclaimer in the bag and done, so that, you know, we don't run into some kind of unforeseen problems. And I'm about to run into an unforeseen problem here if I don't move this alarm on my computer. My computer is going to start making noises that we don't want to hear, and we don't need to have that kind of interruption. I've got my trading charts up, of course, and market's making a move down. I had an alert down there, and it came one tick away from sounding it, so we don't listen to that. Well, it's been just a busy week for me here. I've been making water and just working on trading-related stuff and dealing with some detoxing. I've evidently had some problems with my feet I didn't know about, because the last several days my feet have been real sore and my ankles swelled way up for no apparent reason. I didn't do anything, but, you know, but they're getting better, and I'm still moving along. I was breathing when I woke up this morning, so that's my good news for the day. Do any of our other moderators have any good news?
Well,
we had an oral argument.
It's been raining the entire day, but the river hasn't risen yet.
Yeah, they're saving it for next week, and they're
going
to flood you again.
No, we're supposed to have it's supposed to be really cold, and we get snow on Thursday. So, you know, as long as the river doesn't rise now, they came and treated our well today. So I can't use the water right now except to flush the toilets until all that chlorine sits in the pipes for 8 hours, and then I can flush the system, because the river got in my well. So we had to have our well treated and flushed out. But that's done, and that ugly old Dodge will get hauled away tomorrow. I had a hard time pretending that upset me.
She's been wanting to get rid of that thing for about 2 years.
3 years. And,
well, 3 years.
And, you know, and it was even harder not to play the I told you so card. But I didn't.
Well, that's good. That's going to be one more thorn that will be gone, and onward and upward. So getting the well fixed is a big thing, though, so you got potable water. I mean,
yeah. And then we discovered right in the middle of all that, the toilet in my bathroom, the flushing, the toilet guts, you know, the flushing mechanism, It broke, and it's an old toilet, so, yeah, I don't know if you can replace that or not. And then I went to fill both bathtubs with water just in case the pump froze again, and that's how I found out that the well was full of river water. But that's also how I found out that both the stoppers in both bathtubs don't work, and the tubs won't hold water. So they're coming out tomorrow to fix the plumbing, too.
Oh, boy.
Mm. Yeah, so, you know, it all gets done at once, and they're going to replace the cover on our well, because that went bye-bye down the river in the flood. They'll probably bring that tomorrow or the next day. But, you know, there's always a silver lining to any disastrous stuff, and that's what I'm looking at, you know, the good part.
Well, that's good. You're slowly getting back to normal. Whatever normal might be.
A lot of rain up that way.
Yeah. Yeah, Jesse, that river, to get all the way up to the doors in my house and flood my garage, 30 feet rise.
Hey. Wow.
That, yeah. That, you know, even all the neighbors around here, they're like, whoa, we haven't seen that before. It get that bad. And I got major lucky because when it flooded the garage, there was no way we could get our bikes out. There was no way for me to get my truck out in time. So I was able to park it on an angle where it was just the carpet and stuff that got wet. But the garage did not flood high enough to harm the Harley or the Spider. We had the Harley up on a bike jack, but that Spider's low riding and it's all computerized and electronic. And what are you going to put it up on? They don't even make trailers wide enough to put them on.
Right.
So I got really lucky with that. Well, that was what I was really scared of. Now my neighbor across from me.
Not a fun time in your neighborhood.
Yeah, the people across the other side of the road, there's a little road that goes straight up, and there's a driveway that goes straight up the mountain above us. And they share our road, but they've got this steep driveway, you know, up to their place, and I got to know my neighbor, and I've never talked to him before. Yesterday, the day before, I see him all the time because he walks his cat on a leash, which is a major accomplishment to begin with, because that cat really enjoys the leash. And I had always wondered what the hell kind of cat that is, because it's solid black, very sleek, but extremely tall. Really long legs, long body, like an Abyssinian, but those are brown, but it with really, really long legs. So I stopped to talk to him, come to find out it's a Sumatran, which is a cross between a Sumatran jaguar and a house cat, so it's illegal as hell, but beautiful animal. And now he said, you know what, the next time that river starts to rise, you just bring the bikes and any of the vehicles you want up to my place. And I'm like, cool, thanks.
Well, that'll work.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, who else has got any good news for us? John? Larry?
I'm still working on my stuff.
Well, two for the price of one. What do you got, John?
I said, I'm just still working away on my stuff. I got a motion filed or opposition filed today that I needed to in a case, and now they've got me on the automatic where I get notifications of all the filing in the federal case, which actually I like. It makes life very easy, and it works fluidly. So
right,
I like
it saves your
too,
attorney time instead of having to send them to you.
Yeah, I thought that was really valuable because I had that here in North Carolina with the court. It does make a difference, doesn't it?
And there's no more lost mail.
Yeah.
So.
I didn't have
okay,
that
Larry,
in Georgia.
Larry, did you have something for us?
Yeah, I was just going to say I'm doing a check right now.
You're doing what with a check right now?
Waiting on one. I
oh,
signed
you're
the
waiting.
Agreement. Yeah.
Oh,
so
very
federal,
good.
Yeah, federal case is done. Okay. They remanded, well, a portion of it to state court, and I'm waiting for that to happen so I can get moving on it.
Good. Well, little by little, right?
Right.
That's what you got to do. All right. Well, you know, we the group of us doesn't, you know, have a huge amount of litigation going on right now. So John's got some stuff, and Larry, of course, has some stuff, but things have been quieter. I'm going to do some checking and see if anybody can tell me anything on what's going on at the MDL, but I haven't heard anything on that. So I want to make sure that they were able to get the deposition done and see if they were going to have to get any other secondary depositions done, because the court left the door open for that to happen. So we'll check into that. But, well, I tell you what, it's that time. If somebody has questions for us or good news, either one, we'll take them all bundled up, whatever order they come. Hit the one key on the keypad, excuse me, the keypad on your phone, and that'll put you in the queue, and we'll answer your questions, or at least try. If we can answer your questions specifically, that'll be great. But if we can't, we'll try and point you in a direction so that you can find the information you need or get the help you need on something if we're not able to provide that to you. But hitting the one key is how you're going to put yourself in the queue. And as I've said so many times, if people don't put their hands up, then what we're going to do is something else. Jesse's going to go find a bed.
Sleep.
Terry will have plenty to do, and all of us do. All of us do. We're here to help you guys, and you know, if nobody has questions, then we go ahead and wrap things up and say goodnight and move on down the line. And you know what, guys? I'm not seeing anybody with a hand up.
Yeah.
This is really interesting.
Would I be so lucky tonight?
Well, I know you wanted a lucky night. Well, now we have everybody got scared. I think it's
that's
you guys
it
better
takes,
not wait
Dave.
Because if we don't have callers, we're going to wrap it up, and I'm not going to keep playing ring around the rosy with that stuff. If you've got questions, put your hand up.
That's right.
And we'll get to them. We'll try and help you as much as we can, but we're not going to sit around here and beg and plead, "Oh, well, somebody please raise your hand." No, we'll say, "Hey, it's been nice. Have a great evening, everybody, and we're out of here because I've got stuff I've got to do. I got to clean up after my dinner if I didn't do another thing. I actually took the time to make dinner tonight instead of grabbing something." But we have somebody. Yeah, we have somebody calling from 845, and you've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Hi. Hello.
Good evening.
Oh, okay. You can hear me. Yeah, I got to clean up my dinner stuff too. But I have I know you guys don't normally use lawyers, but I have a bad lawyer problem, and who really badly represented me in court. Now, I can do a grievance with a fee dispute because the guy charged me $14,000 and completely charged my changed my whole litigation. Now, if I go to grievance, which I don't think you guys do,
no.
With the association, has anybody
well,
done
well,
that?
Well, you can go to grievance.
Yeah.
Of course you can.
Well, if I go to grievance, but then I've also talked to a lot of white-collar crime guys that say, okay, well, you know, breach of contract, malpractice. Is it better to file a civil suit against the attorney simultaneously when going to grievance committee? Because that's one of the questions on the Bar Association. Have you filed a suit? Have you filed a civil suit?
Right.
And I am contacting the attorney general because, oh, that was another thing that you guys might want to be interested in. In New York, there has been a new bill passed. It's called 5160 for standing.
Yes,
for people with lack of standing, instead of having to go through bells and whistles and conditioned precedent and all this other kind of nonsense. Our senator from the 29th District, Brian Kavanaugh, has passed a bill for updating the laws in New York State for standing because of the problem that happened since the subprime crash happened and Mears and all this other kind of nonsense, that they actually have to prove it. Before you had to pull teeth, but now they actually have to prove it. And it's called...
Well, they were supposed to have had to prove it before.
Well, you know
yeah.
what? They always don't. And I got thrown under the bus by this attorney that I want to take to grievance because...
Have you filed a grievance with him in the bar? Just curious.
Well, no, I'm going to file, but I didn't know if it was better to file with a grievance before filing a civil action against him because from my understanding of the rules... If you go to grievance, you can only file for whatever is, I mean, like the guy didn't do anything, and I paid him $14,000. He put in an order to show cause, and I had to file or make corrections to the reply and file it myself without his original affidavit to Supreme Court because he wasn't prepared. So I said, okay, I'm dealing with an idiot. I thought after 8 months and me filing a bankruptcy that he would do his homework. And since I had hired a private third-party investigator for loan compliance and title analysis and mortgage fraud, not the CLF guys that you guys use, but another person, Joe Esquivel, he is awesome, and pointed out all the things that were wrong, that the laws that weren't followed by the PSA, the pooling service agreement, everything that was wrong, and this idiot lawyer put his affidavit in it that said, for educational purposes only, in the order to show cause. And I went, oh, shit, this guy just threw me under the bus. He didn't even research anything.
Goodness.
Oh, yeah. No,
that's what's known as ineffective counsel.
Or is it like malpractice? Or idiot?
They don't have an idiot. They don't have a
statute. They don't have an idiot clause.
Idiots. Otherwise, everybody in California, just about everybody in California, would be prosecuted. But
the course that lawyers go through, because they say, let's see how long we can drag them along, and how far I can push the envelope for my financial gain.
Well, of course. Everybody has to understand the lawyers aren't there to help you. They're there to line their pockets with as much money as they can get.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They care less whether you win or lose.
Yes, exactly what Jurisdictionary says. He says, do not trust your lawyer. You know, you got to follow up on it. If you don't do your own homework, shame on you. Well, I didn't. I just paid them like
they're officers of the court.
I'm sorry?
They're officers of the court. So their allegiance and obligation is not to you from the get-go.
Right. Yeah, another mistake I made. Because I've been with you guys for about 4 years, and I put in, like Jesse, I love the one thing that he had with the lawyer that said that the judge was trying to use him for... a recommendation, and he goes, in the spirit of intent, I have a letter going to the judge because now I'm thrown under the bus, and I have nothing to do other than to file complaints with everybody, with my senator, the new bill they passed.
Okay, well, you said you've got a letter going to the judge. What is the purpose and what is the content of this letter you're sending to the judge?
For the new bill that got passed for standing because my lawyer didn't really hit on that. He was doing conditions precedents to drag me along. I have and then.
But what is in this letter you're going to send to the judge?
Right.
What is the substance of that letter, and what is the purpose? That's my question to you.
I'm going
to
throw myself at the mercy of the court, because other than that, I'm going to get thrown out of my house to go cease and desist, and I'm going to have to file a bankruptcy or an emergency bankruptcy just to be able to collect my thoughts and be able to possibly file or possibly be able to find another attorney that isn't a good idea, that might be able to help me accommodate with the white-collar crimes that have actually happened with this particular loan that was in Bank of Mellon, mortgage pass-through certificates, seawall, blah, 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 that's got an $8.5 billion loan.
Let's go back to my question.
Okay.
You're going to write a letter to the judge and throw yourself on the mercy of the court.
Yes.
That's your purpose, correct?
Everything that my lawyer did not bring up, because I just fired him, and
okay.
I got a
consent
to change attorney, so I wasn't properly represented.
Well, the first thing I'm going to say is doing that, sending that letter to the judge, is improper.
Okay.
Because the judge is the court. And the court acts on motions. You know, a motion is a request. You move the court to do this or do that. Sending a individual letter, a personal letter to a judge, they can't do anything with that.
So it's got to go
in
the round. In the garbage.
Well, effectively, yes. From a procedural standpoint, file 13. Anything that you do that you want some kind of relief from the court, some type of help in some way, you have to do through a filing on the court. You would probably have to notify if the court is under the assumption at this point in time that Joe Blow, the idiot lawyer, is representing you, you'd have to notice the court that Joe Blow, the idiot lawyer, no longer represents you. His
I made him send a judge saying that I am no longer representing myself, and advise the referee and everybody else, because I had a problem with the attorney. It gets even better. The attorney had a telemarketer, a guy on the internet that was taking money out of my account, which was going to not the attorney's name, which is M. Carlson, but E. Carlson. And M. Carlson is in New York City. E. Carlson, my checks taking electronically out of my account are going to Illinois, where this idiot telemarketer is. And I started discovering this when we started having a fee problem.
Well, then maybe there's some fraud involved. But either way.
Oh, no, there's a lot.
Yeah. Well, either way. You sending a letter to the judge is improper. The court isn't going to do anything with that.
Okay.
Well, like I said, sending a letter to the court saying, oh, hey, Mr. Judge, the court is simply an arbitrator of a dispute. You with the bank over the house. Okay.
So I can't do cease and desist or anything.
You have to do it through the court. What I'm saying is you're going to have to do it through a proper filing on the docket in the case. You can't just write a letter to the judge. It doesn't work.
Okay.
That way.
Yeah, but how do I stop
like
it after the judge already ruled against force. Because of this lawyer?
Well,
re-argue? With
you know, how long ago did this happen?
They just filed a notice of entry January 2nd.
What do you mean
now,
a notice
nobody's
of entry?
Doing anything. Yes.
What
nobody's
is a notice of entry? What is the purpose
right.
of that?
Notice
what
of
is
entry
the-
is to support the sale.
How long ago was this ruling that the court made ruling against you regarding the house? Not a notice of sale. There was evidently another dispute.
Hey, yes, November 12th.
Okay, that's...
But plaintiffs switched plaintiffs to a new law firm who have it so screwed up now that it doesn't even look like my case anymore. That the judge ruled in its favor.
Yeah, one of the problems you've got is you're 90 days past when that other decision was made. If you wanted to do some kind of appeal or something, you need to be much more timely than waiting 3 months.
Yeah, no, I couldn't file an appeal with the attorney with what he filed because that's wasting the court's time. It was very... weak, and it would have cost me a lot more money just because he was doing conditions precedent. You know, we have no fact affidavits from anybody with a notarized person.
Well,
that,
you're getting into the details. We're not going to be able to help you on that specific part of it. You know, Jesse, have you got any suggestions on a plan of action, you know, a direction she might want to go with this? Because I'm looking at this being pretty far out from decisions of the court, and any kind of a reconsideration, like John mentioned, seems to me it'd be kind of moot at this point.
Right.
Yeah, I think it is. I've been just listening to you. I don't think it's going to go anywhere. I don't know what the plan of action would be, but man, it's a tough one, Dave.
this is obviously not a good situation. It's just not. Yeah, it's she's got a real problem with an attorney that obviously didn't do a good job,
I say you file with the bar.
You're going to have a hard time finding a good lawyer that's going to sue another lawyer. If you go and just find a lawyer, if you go out and just find a lawyer to sue another lawyer for malpractice, you might find somebody, but are they going to do any kind of a decent job, or are they just going to take some more of your money and say, well, you know, we tried, you can't win them all. And then you're going to be out some more money, even on
right.
top of that.
Right. So where...
Yeah, you know, they say there's no honor among thieves. There are exceptions to that.
Yeah.
There are? Well, that's the exception
yeah.
I'm looking for. Because at this point, I'm like...
No. You misunderstood what I said. No honor among thieves usually means that thieves will throw each other under the bus. But in the lawyer profession, no way are they going to throw each other under the bus. But they're very good at making a show of it and collecting the money from the public.
I'm really good at this. I can sue that lawyer and get your money back and stuff. And if you pay me $8,000 up front, and then we'll take it from there. But yeah, I can get that money back from that lawyer if he didn't do a good job and stuff. And then you cough up the $8,000, and then it goes on for 2 or 3 or 6 or 9 months, a year and a half.
Yeah, I mean.
Nothing has happened.
To be fair,
well, he's a real slippery character. We really couldn't do anything with that.
Right.
But we're not giving you your $8,000 back.
They're all in
you
the air.
There are
know.
Exceptions to that, like Sidney Powell, but who in the hell can afford her? Right?
I was just going to say, anybody that's
or
in your realm of possibility financially.
Okay,
yeah.
So doing it by myself is completely impossible.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I'd say your chances of success are slim to none.
Hmm.
Yeah, they're that good.
Yeah, I'd love to give you better news. I'd love to be positive and encouraging stuff, but I have to be honest, and that's what I'm being painfully
honest.
When
you go into the legal establishment and you give them your undivided faith that they're going to do the right thing, and then you find out at the 11th hour that it's like, oh, shit, you know, it's like, okay, now it's too late, game over. Now, who do you write? The president? You know, I mean, like, it's like
right.
There's so much fraud and there's so much...
Well, they're even doing... That wouldn't work either because they're doing that to him.
I know, but he won. He finally made it.
You know, I mean, but one battle of hundreds of them.
What do you think his lawyer bill was? What do you think his lawyer bill was?
thank
it's in
God
the millions,
for,
I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but thank God for friends. I think that's either that. Yeah, they gotta suck their blood out of that too. But okay. For an example, I was showed a bogus note. I said it's not my note, and the judge ruled against me. I said no, it's obviously inkjet. It's not. That's not my note. Then they lose the allonge. Then they have no fact affidavits from anybody who had a notary that showed identification to that even the names are wrong, and then they think I have a mortgage with somebody else, and I'm like, can't make this shit up. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, this is very common out there, unfortunately. And the courts rubber stamp it.
Yeah, it's a rude awakening, and I'm like, okay, I've lived in this house for 40 years, and now they're going to throw me out. And all I wanted to know is who has title to my property that I can negotiate with, because they won't answer a single question in discovery, interrogatories, requests for admissions, lost the allonge, can't figure out anything, show me a bogus note, and they win.
The problem you have is you can't just say that's a bogus note. You have to have proof that that's a bogus note. That's an assumption, right? So why the judge
hired
right
an expert document examiner to examine it prove it to the judge, and the judge says, nope, don't want to see it. Sorry.
Yeah, because that's
plaintiff's
the problem
favor.
With an examiner. Yeah.
No, he had 78 court cases that were, you know, he had a reputation for examining documents, but the judge didn't want to hear it. And I paid him $1,000.
Yeah.
I paid for an expert. I paid for a third-party private investigator for loan compliance. I paid him $3,000. I paid a lawyer $14,000.
Right.
I paid a lawyer before that $3,000. I said, your case is too complicated. I don't want to handle it. You know, this is all just in the past year. I've paid over $20,000, and the judge ruled against me. And I'm like, okay, I don't care how much money you throw at it. You can't win.
You're building your case for appeal. So you got to,
I already lost.
You got everything. As long as you have all your ducks in,
I already lost the time for the appeal. If I was going to appeal, I had to do it by the end of January. And I was trying to get my lawyer to say, okay, what are you appealing? And he goes, And I was like, no, talk to me like I'm a six-year-old. I had no idea what you're appealing. And I'm not paying for an appellate writer another $5,000 when I don't know what you're appealing.
I think you need to go to a different neighborhood if you ever shop for attorneys in the future.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, really, it just...
Like,
but
a horror story that you're going, okay, I had a pile of you know what before. Now I got a real big pile of you know what, and I'm like, I still don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, where you stand right now, I think the other moderators would agree that you don't have a basis for appeal. If you wanted to take some kind of civil action against the attorney for
contract, because I was supposed to examine. No. Malpractice.
Ineffective representation. You'd have to be able to prove that. You'd have to be able to lay out your case. And sounds like you've got a lot of information and stuff. Now, you know, without knowing what you have, it sounds like you very definitely have a basis for that. But that's going to be a civil matter, and you would have to be competent in filing that and going before the court and arguing it and proving it, you know, coming up with the proper documentation that, you know, he took your money and did not work up to the standard expected of a bar-licensed attorney in that jurisdiction, and go from there. Suing for that, then your damages in that is going to be the loss of your property, the value of the property, and all the emotional distress, and, you know, you'd want to put all that stuff in there, all your loss of sleep, and, I mean, your nervousness, and
I'm not into this story. I'm just to get, you know, hey, you know, like, this is very fraudulent.
No, you can't just go in there and say that. That's my point.
No.
That's what I was saying earlier. Yeah. That's what I was saying earlier. You just cannot go in and say that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, for not properly defending me, yes. Dave, I understand what you're saying. I'm just like...
Okay.
At which end with the so-called justice system that I'm like...
There is no justice system.
You can't
exactly.
Make it up. It's just beyond Ripley's, believe it or not.
What you have seen in Washington, D.C. in the last 3 years...
Incredible.
Is a very, very blatant, full-scale example of how broken the judicial system is in this country. That's been
an absolute
colossal example.
And that's sad, because we're already speaking
the
truth.
Well, it is, but that's what's there. And if you want to do something about this, like I explained to you, that's what you're going to have to do. That's the only possible thing that I see that you could do to have any chance of getting anything out of this other than moving.
Well, that's going to happen no matter what, but not if I can dig a claw in somewhere, but it's amazing to me how the criminals hide behind the justice system with half-truths and have these judges who have no clue bamboozled completely that rule against somebody who is trying to be honest in the process.
It's not that they're bamboozled. They have a hidden interest.
Oh, yeah.
They have a hidden agenda, a hidden interest. They're supposed to be an impartial arbiter of disputes. They're anything but. Don't ever kid yourself.
Well, I wanted to file a complaint with the bar for the judge because she allowed a fraudulent copy of a note that she ruled against me with. And I'm like,
well, again, you know, you have one expert witness that said that's fraudulent. They could have probably bought another witness from the bank that said that's not fraudulent. That's
oh, no.
why you can't say it's fraudulent. Sure you can. Quit saying that. You can.
Huh?
I guarantee you they can get somebody to sign an affidavit that's the true and original note. End of story.
I have the original papers. That paper wasn't even on the same type of paper. Because I looked at that and I says, okay.
You didn't hear what I just said. You're still trying to worry about a fact here and a fact there. The fact of the matter is they can bring somebody into that courtroom that would testify against that. Now you're neutralized. Whether that's right, incorrect, made up bullshit or not, they can do it. They do it all the time. That's all I'm trying to tell you. So you can file a complaint and they're just going to look at you and go, this woman's crazy. That's it. They're not going to pay any attention to it. That's not how you win foreclosure.
Both of the experts are only giving opinions. There's no first-hand fact witness to
testify.
Nothing.
But that's right.
You are the first-hand fact witness that could say, that's not mine, never seen it, never signed it. But if you were to say that it looks similar to, the judge can take that as an equivocal statement.
Equivocal statement of what?
What that means is, well, it you're saying it's not it, but it looks like it. So you could say, well, it looks like it. If it looks like it and it smells like it, it probably is it. And they reestablish lost notes and documents all the time.
That's how
your firsthand equivocal statement for you to reestablish the lost item yourself. That's all they do, and that's a legal thing the judge can do, but if you attack judges, you're just attacking the people that run the whole system. That you know they're all in a club, so you know attacking one means you're going to attack the rest of them. So they're all going to side together, and go to the Bar Association. You know you're asking the brethren to chastise one of their own members, and that doesn't work too well. If you can find someone that is competent that will get them for legal malpractice, you can hire that person to go and sue them. But you better make damn sure that the lawyer has malpractice insurance or some type of insurance, because you can damn well be sure that they've got all their assets hidden in the first place.
Well, yeah.
Well, they're all public.
Well, no, because
they're public. Remember, they got to report their assets every year. That's public
information. Oh, no. Wait. Okay. This internet marketer that was taking out the money out of my account, which I thought I was paying a lawyer in New York City, it went to E. Carlson in Illinois. I was
but
like,
you don't
well, what
know,
the hell is this?
You don't know if there's any kind of business relationship, and that's got nothing to do with your case. That is irrelevant as far as the foreclosure is concerned. Yeah, see, there's no connection there, so that's not an issue to even think about as far as the foreclosure is concerned.
Hmm. Okay, I'm screwed. In essence.
If you were willing to do stuff yourself, I still think that you could put some type of notice into the court that you fired the lawyer because he failed to move forward with an appeal for you. And then request leave that you're able to extend the time after an expiration date, extend the time to act after an expiration date, and that you want to put in a motion for reconsideration because of the actions of the ineffective counsel. And if nothing else, when you put in a motion to the court, unless they deny it immediately, and generally, they provide a period of time for the other side to respond, and then you get them caught in a flurry of motions, and it's going to buy you a little bit of time, you know.
Yeah, just say you were prejudiced. Use that word. You were prejudiced, but you need to file a complaint, or what we call a grievance, with the bar against that attorney, spelled out in black and white, attach that grievance to this motion, and say, listen, this is how, you know, I was grieved by this guy. I missed my filing. It's only the 18th. If you had the end of January, you can hurry up and do it and say, I just found out about this. I missed my period to file a motion for a notice of appeal and blah, 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 blah. Please let the court grant, you know, until I find some other judge, even though you're not probably going to find another judge or another attorney. You don't want to find another attorney. That gives you time to do what you need to do. But
okay.
If you do that quickly, I'm telling you, you'll get the time. John's absolutely right.
Okay. That is a positive. Yes, I already started compiling that. I was going to write a letter to the judge, but I already had the grievance form filled out. I didn't know if I should grieve him first, sue him first, or, you know, throw myself at the mercy of the courts. But that makes sense.
Well, the goal you're looking for is at least to stay in your house a while longer, if not win. So that comes before suing the lawyer. You file the grievance, as Jesse said, attach the grievance to the documents we're talking about, where you say you fired him, here's the reason why, here's the reason you need more time after the expiration of a date, and that get leave to file a motion for reconsideration. And if you do all that, that's going to go to the issue of your house, but you need to get it wrapped up like ASAP in the next week, because if it rolls past the end of the month, you've spent another 30 days beyond the expiration of the time for filing your appeal.
I can't thank you guys enough, because I asked the judge for reconsideration in, you know, throwing myself at the mercy of the court. So I'll take that part out, reconsideration, and yes. Absolutely.
And you can't, don't say about throwing yourself on the mercy of the court.
No, that was the only thing I could think of. I was like, oh my God, this can't be so.
Our courts don't have mercy.
Well,
right,
yeah.
Right,
that,
John?
Yeah,
they just
exactly
don't.
Yeah. I mean, it might be mercy to have some guy executed, and instead they give him life in prison to suffer.
Yeah,
so
well,
they don't do that in America. They'd rather make you spend life in prison than execute you.
But what would it be? A motion to reconsider? Is that what I would be filing, or a notice of motion to reconsider? Because I have to file it to the plaintiffs.
What I would do if I was in your situation is that I would file a notice to the court that you've terminated your counsel for ineffective representation and for failing to timely file your appeal, number one. Number two, and attach your grievance to that as an exhibit. Number two, there's a motion for an extension of time. And I assume your state court follows the federal court. In the federal rules, there's two types of motions for extension of time. One before the expiration of a deadline, and the other's for after the expiration of a deadline. So you want to find the one that's a motion for extension of time after the expiration of a deadline. And you file that, repeat again about, you know, ineffective counsel, missing your deadline, blah, 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 attach the grievance as an exhibit. Then the third thing you do is with that, put in a request for leave to file your motion for reconsideration. So the second one is for an enlargement of time to file your motion. The second one is for an enlargement of time to file your motion for reconsideration after the expiration of a deadline. And then the third one is a request for leave to file the motion to reconsider after the expiration of the deadline and asking for enough time to put it together yourself. And that's the best I can think of. Or, you know, because you don't want to say you're looking for more counsel, because then the court's going to figure, oh, you're just going to get pissed at the next guy and do the same thing again. They might give you an opportunity to do it yourself. And if you can get that in there, the worst they can say is no.
Okay. Expiration of deadline.
For leave to file an extension of time after the expiration of a deadline. a motion for extension of time to file your motion to reconsider after the expiration of a deadline. Sometimes if you just pepper the court with a couple of similar things that are worded differently, it draws their attention to it a little bit more and shows you're making an effort. It may not be proper, but as a pro se, it gets their attention. You know, you like hit the nail on the head three times.
Okay, so I was going to, with what I was going to file that my attorney never filed, was to CC everybody who was for mortgage fraud, the people who had all signed this bill for lack of standing, my congressman.
They have no bearing on your suit. The court has jurisdiction. They don't.
Okay, so the CC is not a good idea.
Unfortunately, it's going to come down to the judge. You don't CC court filings. You're going to,
yeah,
you know,
that,
you're going to tell the
judge. That'd be a waste of paper and toner.
You're going to request it in the interest of justice for the court to do this, because you had ineffective counsel that failed in their duties and blah 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 blah. You know, they were bar licensed and, you know, didn't give you services you expected. And, you know, in the interest of justice, you're requesting the court grant you leave and sufficient time to file the document after the expiration of the date that your ineffective counsel missed.
Well, I'm glad you guys could just rattle this stuff off. Wow.
It's not to prejudice to anybody. You know, those things are important. But
well, that's excellent, because I already sent the attorney the consent to change attorneys, so that at least I know what's going on instead of him. Because of the contract.
You need to get on this and get this done quickly, like John said.
Yeah. Well, it'll be done
this
by the end of the week.
This isn't something to wait another week, 10 days, 2 weeks. You know, this is something to get done and get before the court, like, you know,
Friday.
No later than Friday.
Yeah,
it's not, and you don't have a consent to terminate counsel. It's, you know, the defendant's notice to the court. Defendant has terminated counsel for ineffective representation attached. Please find the bar grievance outlining the issue. And, you know, that lets the court, you know, please send all further court documents to me as pro se. I mean, they're going to get the picture pretty quick. The less you say, the better.
Yes.
Let the grievance tell the story.
Well, you know, for whatever I didn't remember, I know you guys put these calls all on recordings.
They're recorded.
Yes, yeah. And I am going to listen to this again to put it down to the letter, because this will be done by Friday. And I can't thank you guys enough, and I'm sorry for the headache, and please take your next caller, because I had a big pile, and I knew only you guys would have the right answer to this.
Well, you know, take it all with a grain of salt, and you got to put your own spin on it. I'm just telling you what I would do if it was me, and I don't know all the things in your case, and you got to take that to light yourself. But that's what I would do.
Well, that was awesome, and I can't thank you enough. You guys are the bomb, and God bless you for being out there for us. Thank you. And God bless. Anyway, take your next caller. I'm excited, because I didn't have an answer. I got my head with a bullseye on the wall going bang head here, and I've been doing that for probably about two weeks now going, what the heck am I supposed to do?
It's not over till you say it's over.
I'm not giving up. Thank you guys for helping me keep the faith.
Go get them.
You're welcome. Okay. Go for it. Go get them.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you.
Okay, you bet.
Bye.
All right. Boy, she sure got a situation on her hands. Okay, let's go to 719. You're unmuted for your question. Go ahead.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I would like to thank you. I was a member for about 6 months and loved it, and circumstances happened in my life, and I wasn't able to continue. And I'm in a situation where I heard something one time on one of the calls about either Larry's stuff or John's stuff about putting your bank account in an LLC. And I was wondering if I could find out more information on that.
That's John's work that he...
That's me.
He does a lot of work with that.
What's your question?
Is there a website or something I can visit to go to your stuff to possibly look it up and acquire that?
It's on What Lies in Your Debt.
Everything's there, yeah.
Protecting Your Money section.
I'm actually not a member right now.
Well, you should become one.
Yeah.
He was one and now he's not, so... Yeah, but that's where it's at. It's not anywhere else. So
I don't know if Terry's still matching people up, but you can always email Terry and see if she can find someone to buddy up with you.
Share a membership.
I don't have anybody. I don't have anyone else right now, but
someone else listening might email you too.
Anybody listening, if you want to partner up, then you would have to send me a personal email to queensongbird@gmail.com and just ask to be hooked up with somebody looking for a membership partner. And remember, I don't have anything to do with that, the actual partnership. All I do is connect you up. You guys decide who's the main person to pay ClickBank and who pays the other one. You negotiate your own deal. I'm just a switchboard.
I think I could swing the, what is it, $99 or something like that right now myself. So I'll just go back in and re-up my membership.
Well, you were a member before,
money
right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, say again?
Well, I'm going to let him know he was a member before. So you don't have to pay the $99. You pay it, you send Gary an email, then I send you a check back for that initial setup. You don't have to pay that. So you pay your $40 for your first month, and then you're done. Or $50, and I send you a check for $50 back. So you don't have to worry about it.
Okay. And that sounds awesome. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I email Gary?
The webmaster.
Yeah, you just... re-sign up and you style webmaster at whatliesinyourdebt.com. Say, hey, I was an existing member. I signed up. I do that all the time. You pay the $99, I'll mail you back the 50. You don't have to worry about it.
Surely appreciate it.
It'll only cost you $49 to sign up.
Okay.
All right.
So
anyway, we can help
you
out, man. Yeah, not a worry.
All right. Have a great
All right. Did I take care of your questions?
Yep, not a worry.
It did.
All righty. Thank you very much.
You bet.
All right. Now we're to the point where I don't see another hand up on the board, so I'm going to one time tell everybody, if you have a question for us, now is the time to speak or forever hold your peace. And the way you speak here is to hit the one key on the keypad on your phone and put yourself in the queue so I can see you. And if nobody pops up and... has a question for us, then we're going to say sayonara, everybody. We've got other work to do, other things to take care of. And I'm not seeing anybody else that has a hand up here. We've got other people on the call, but evidently nobody has a specific question they want answers to. So we're going to go ahead and call it a wrap for tonight. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. We had some good discussion on some things. Hopefully we've been some help to a couple of people here. And well, actually, I know we have been, but that's what we do here. So our next call is in 2 weeks. This is an every other week Tuesday night open call. Tomorrow afternoon, I will be doing a webinar open Q&A on TCPA. And then on Thursday evening, Terry has her call, as usual. And if you are not on Terry's email list to get the call information or the other information she may send out, send a email to queensongbird@gmail.com. That's all one word, queensongbird@gmail.com. And just say, put me on the list. All you got to do is put that in the subject line. So that'll take care of things. And we will go ahead and, well, now we have somebody that popped their hand up. You guys want to take one more here? We're still plenty early.
Yeah, that's fine, dude. I'm good, buddy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hate it when you guys do this. You guys know how this works, the one key and the keypad. We're going to go to 201. You're unmuted. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Jason from Jersey. I came across a question, but John Daly's foreclosure, it was back in 1969. The lower court judge found him culpable against the foreclosure and said that the money that the banks created was not real money, like God. And and the thing is, 6 months later, the judge was murdered, poisoned,
dead.
And
that's Judge Mahoney in the Credit River decision.
Yep. Right. My thing is that he was the court. His ruling was out defunct because it was he didn't have the jurisdiction per se. But regardless of the jurisdiction, his facts were factual. And being that being that it was overturned by a higher court, could that ruling that he did and the proof that he had be applicable for America to get back at Federal Reserve?
Well, no, because for one thing, what judge is going to back it up, accept it, and say, well, yeah, you're right. Excuse me, they're not interested in being suicided.
Yeah, why did Judge Mahoney end up dead? Because of his decision.
Right.
Plain and simple.
Well,
he went against the program and he paid for it with his life. He was right. He did the right thing, but he died for it. That's the way they operate.
He did a Clinton. That's it.
It was done by a Clinton. But who knows? But the thing is, all right, so he did the right thing. He was assassinated by the establishment's people. But the real thing here is, how do we address the rape of us, calling us so I'm in New Jersey, and we have something in the Constitution that we have inalienable rights, versus the U.S. Constitution of 14th says we have privileges and immunities. How do we get out of their their battle zone?
Let me answer. The only answer there is at this point, the only chance the American people have at this point is to stand up with all their might and help President Trump to drain the swamp, because until it's drained, it ain't even possible.
So you're saying that Trump's the answer because he's taking out the trash and with the wave.
He's trying to do it, but he has a monumental task
alone
before him. Right.
And he cannot do it without the support and the fight of the people, any more than our founders could have done it fighting the king if they hadn't had the support of the people, and thankfully, in the end, the help of France, because they were small in number. But we're large in number, okay? And I'm just going to tell you one thing, and I've said it a million times, and it's never going to change. No government, regardless of what kind it is, dictatorship, republic, democracy, any kind, okay, communist, socialist, fascist, doesn't matter. No government can survive without the consent of the governed, and it will last only so long as it has the consent of the governed, because the governed will always outnumber the elite in charge, or the governors.
All right. Another question is, I'm sorry. Any answers? I'll stand down. I'll listen. Because you're the wizards here.
No, we've just studied a lot.
Yeah. Well, studying makes you smarter than me. Now, I came across a sovereign authority affidavit. And
run.
Forget it.
Yeah, burn it.
Run.
Why is that?
It means nothing.
It's worthless.
It'll get you in more trouble than it'll ever help you.
Why is it that way? I mean, if you're saying that you are affirming that
listen to me. The same reason I just told you. The swamp has control of everything. The court system, all three branches of government, the media, okay?
The military,
everything. And so, yeah, it doesn't matter that you're right and you file something or write something, whatever you're going to do, that is 100% right. They will not let you win because it upsets their apple cart. They're not going to do that. So the most you can accomplish by going down these patriot roads like that and trying to stand on your own that way, the only sovereignty you're going to achieve, if you're lucky, if you're still breathing, is a sovereignty you can claim as an official inmate in a federal prison. And we have had friends who ended up there for the same kind of thing.
Yeah, we personally, Terry, myself, Jesse, we all know somebody who fiddled with this stuff and ended up in federal prison.
What was the reason for the federal
prison?
That's
why we warn people to stay away from it, because you'll be your own worst enemy if you fiddle with it.
Right now, until we're in a situation where we the people outnumber those in charge, they have the guns, the money, and the power, and the prisons to put us in. Okay? For now. Now, that may change, but like I said, it can't until the American people stand together in solidarity with each other and with our president and the goal of draining the swamp. It can't be done by one man. And for us to sit back and expect it to be done by anyone other than ourselves is ridiculous. It's our responsibility. We made this mess.
Yeah, but nobody wants to fix it, though.
Exactly.
It's not that we made the mess. We've been made ignorant.
That's not true.
No, we
made the mess. It happened by increments. Our rights were eroded one at a time, slowly, one nudge by nudge, and we failed in our obligation under our Constitution, by the way, and clearly set out by Thomas Jefferson, that it is our obligation to hold those to which we grant the power to govern accountable for their actions, right. And we did not do it. Little
we
by little,
done it, and
we
we're doing
left.
It less and less and less.
Exactly.
That's been the problem.
And so we allowed it to happen, nudge by nudge. We dropped the ball on our responsibility as the
yep.
people.
All you have
Listen,
to do
does,
is
does
look at
here?
This impeachment nonsense that's happened over the last couple of months in Washington, D.C., to see how people don't put a stop to things. That should have been stopped before it ever got going, and it wasn't.
Anyway, listen, does anybody know, and I don't know how many listeners are here, it doesn't really matter, but at the end of the day, does any of the moderators know why the Boston Tea Party happened?
It was, according to history, the Stamp Act caused it. That was like the straw that broke the camel's back.
It was caused because of taxation without representation. People revolted
exactly.
immediately. What do people do nowadays? They just go off watching their little phone, watching porn, or watching some freaking CNN or some CBS or some Fox. They're all bullshit channels, every one of them. But at the end of the day, that's how they keep you preoccupied with stuff.
That's why it's called programming.
I'm going to give you an example. I just sold a boat, my last year's boat, to a gentleman in Maine. Okay? Sight unseen. Super nice guy, Josh. He saw it online. He says, I want that boat. The price is right. I'm going to wire you the money. Wires me the money. Calls me yesterday and says, hey, man, I need you to do something for me. And I says, what? He says, the state of Maine wants to charge me $3,300 in tax.
Oof.
Why? They have no involvement in this transaction. The boat's bought in Florida. Why are you paying tax in Maine? If anything, pay tax in Florida. Nope.
No, North Carolina does that too.
No, exactly. But wait a minute. Didn't I already pay tax on that boat? Isn't that called double taxation on the same exact damn item? It happens with every
transaction.
When you buy it used, you know, so there's taxation without representation. If Larry buys a car and he pays his $5,000 tax on the car and goes in a year and trades it in, and I see the car and I say, wow, that's a nice little Prius. That's what Larry has. I'm going to buy that Prius. Why are they going to charge me another $3,000 tax when Larry already paid $5,000 tax on the car? It's the
right.
same money. There's no difference in money. So he paid $50,000 for it. I'm paying $40,000 for it a year later. It's the same $50,000. It's not like it's any different. Why am I getting taxed again? And if I do it, they'll tax that $50,000 if there's 10 owners. They'll tax it 10 times.
Right.
If there's 100
you know,
owners, they'll tax it 100 times.
Okay,
so
when we moved up here, when we moved up here from Georgia to North Carolina, all of our cars, vehicles, and motorcycles were completely paid for, and taxes had been paid on those transactions. But
yes.
It cost me over $2,000 to get North Carolina registration and tags on them because I had to pay. They won't admit that it's sales tax, but it is
right.
sales tax on the
it
value
is,
of each of those vehicles as if I just bought them in North Carolina.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Ridiculous.
They do that everywhere.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yep.
Happens
everywhere.
The question is why, Dave?
Well,
why have we let this
happen? Because they can do it and get away with it. The last
Only
part of
we
what
allow
I just
them
said is the important part.
Right.
And get away
That's
with
Jesse's
it.
Jesse's point is they get away with it because we allow it. And it's going to continue
exactly.
all of it. Until we stop allowing it. That's what I meant by it can only last as long as the consent of the governed, which is you and me and the rest of us regular people in the country. Until we are done putting up with it, it's not going to stop.
So, all right. So if we all join forces, it's happening like, you know, like there's a Lawful America, National Living Alliance, and everyone's like growing like weeds, but the problem is it's not growing in a bush so we can light it and burn our supposed masters.
Well, we're getting closer to that. That's the tipping point, the 100th monkey. And we're
right.
Getting close to that 100th monkey, very close to it. But I warn you, when we reach that 100th monkey, it is not going to happen in peace and quiet.
Exactly.
There's going to be a lot of bloodshed.
That's right.
Now, I was doing some research about calling the military to our aid. And it said that the Sergeant at Arms had the power to do that. And then I went back to find
it. Yeah,
they
won't do it. They won't do it.
And it was missing. It was missing.
Yeah.
Well, like the 13th Amendment is missing.
Yeah.
That's been
exactly.
AWOL since the late 30s.
Yep. So anyway, we can stay on this conversation until tomorrow. But at the end of the day, it's not going to get us anywhere. You know, like my dad said, my dad's an old Cuban immigrant, came here in 59, fought Castro, went to jail, escaped, went to Vietnam. I mean, my dad's been, you know, like I said, he's probably more American than most Americans. And he knows what it's like to have one day. That's right. He's literally knows exactly what it's like to have one day and tomorrow the government take you and rape you tomorrow by the same people, the same soldiers that are getting paid by your tax. They're eating because you pay their salary. And they stole. They literally stole everything out of his house, his mom and dad's house. They were very wealthy. My dad knows that. He says, nobody in America knows what that feels like. Nobody. I do, firsthand. So he knows all this. That's why he appreciates our liberties. But you know what my dad said, which was the funniest shit I swear my dad said in 50 years that I know that I can ever recall with my dad. He said, why would 1 million Negroes march to Washington to make a change without every single one of them being armed? If you're going to make a change, you're going to roll in there and throw everybody out of our White House, throw everybody out of our House of Representatives, throw every senator the hell out of our buildings and say, now we're going to make a change. Bring your army. We got 1 million armed civilians here. He said, what a waste of stupid-ass people's time. That's exactly my dad's 82. He don't make a whole lot of comments on anything. That pissed him off more than anything. He said, these guys are a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, and your dad is exactly right. And we have more than that. And it's like I said, the consent of the governed. If you show up with signs, you're still consenting. If you show up armed,
But wait a minute. You show up
with
signs. You're consenting in so many ways because you have to pull permits. You got to do this. You got to do it their way.
Exactly.
No. Oh, you roll in there with 1 million guys with 1 million weapons. Come on, Army. Let's talk. Come on, Navy. Let's talk. You guys want to fight us? Let's fight. That's how
you know
make a change. The problem is nobody's got the gonads anymore in this country. Everybody's
Remember what Thomas Jefferson said, and I'm paraphrasing here because I don't know if I remember the exact quote, but freedom and liberty must be refreshed from time to time by the blood of patriots.
Yep.
That's right. The way it is. But people just don't, you know, they don't understand that you don't get things by being Mrs. Nice Guy or Mr. Nice Guy. Against the tyrannical people who run our government. They're in power. They're absolute power. Corrupt.
When it comes to the government, nice guys finish last.
Exactly. And you know, I'm 67 years old. And until I turned 67, in my entire life, I never saw the necessity for it. But all of a sudden, at 67, I did. And I went out and I got trained and I paid for that training. And I do not leave the house without my firearm. And I have a permit to carry concealed. And it is with me everywhere I go at 67 years old. I get it. I know what my responsibility is. And I am willing to stand up to it, for it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the joke in our family. Whenever we go to dinner, there's 7 to 11 weapons at that table. 7 to 11 weapons as a family dinner. Let some quack walk into a restaurant or a movie, see what happens in 30 seconds flat. No bystanders are going to die, I promise you. There's only one guy who's going to die.
That's
the guy who comes in there waving around a gun, you know. So, you know,
I might be in Walmart when that happens.
82. Yeah. You know what his 80th birthday present was? An AK-47 and 1,000 rounds. That was his birthday present.
Awesome.
You know, I mean, that's a fact. That was his birthday present. And like 3 years before, I bought him an AR-16. You know, my dad still shoots. They were shooting yesterday when I was coming. Apparently, I hear everybody was over here for dinner. And it's not that these crazy radicalized people. The reality is that soldiers, the same soldiers right now, who you're paying their salaries, will come to your house and take your stuff.
I'm waiting on a knife.
Needs to be shot. He's not my hero. I'm not waving the big picture and bullshit. Dave is a Vietnam vet. I have two Vietnam veterans in my family. And I'm not the patriot nonsense. I don't believe it. They sell you all the bullshit. It's not true. The same idiots that are out there saying, oh, go America, the same idiots that come to your house and take all your weapons. What? Because they believe the government. And if they don't, they don't want to go to jail. So it's their, you know, how do you win against it?
It's like I'm just waiting
impossible.
Through this cold winter weather for the rain to go away and having that one nice, fairly nice sunny Saturday so I can take all four of my grandsons to the place they like to go and I need to go, which is the firing range. And those boys are ages from 12 to 17. And we have a nice firing range and they like to go. So grandma will just go pick up the boys and all their guns. We'll go spend the day at the firing range as soon as the rain stops.
Yeah, we know. Larry's been to my house. We have our own here, so we don't. Yeah. But anyway, so it is what it is. So let's get rolling here, Dave. How many more people do we have in here?
Well, let's look here and see if anybody else popped a hand up, and I don't see one, so we'll go ahead and wrap things up. Thank you for your comments tonight, sir.
Thank you very much.
Yes, appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. We are going to say good night, everybody. I already made the announcements. Don't forget about Terry's call on Thursday night, tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock Eastern. I'll be doing open Q&A on TCPA. And then we will be back on Tuesday night, 2 weeks from tonight. So have a great evening, everybody. And, Jesse, you get the last word as usual.
God, just God bless everybody. Keep up the fight, and let's keep going. I'm glad we got to encourage at least one gal tonight to step out of that comfort zone. And God willing, with everybody's help, all our moderators' input here, every one of us, she can go on that site and do what she needs to go do, and that would work.
Right.
So,
you know what?
Everybody have
you know
a great
what, Jesse?
Week.
That's what the 100th monkeys are all about. One monkey at a time. That's how we get there.
You got it. That's You got it. Anyway, guys, have a great week. Dave, who's doing our the webinar tomorrow? I'm having a brain fart.
I'm doing the webinar tomorrow. You weren't paying attention, and as I was talking, you were hearing noise.
No,
I
told you I'm half asleep.
Yeah, I know. Open Q&A on TCPA tomorrow.
He's already dreaming.
Yeah. Dream about TCPA.
All right, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
Good night, everybody.
Good night,
I'm going to go monkey around. I'm one of the 100th monkeys, but I'm going to go monkey around.
Good night.
All right. Good night, everybody.
night.